Church family, I'm glad to be in God's Word with you this morning. It's always good to be in Scripture together. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to pull it out. If you have an app on your phone, get that out. We're going to be continuing in the Gospel of Mark today, chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Before we look at that Scripture, you know, I've been thinking about this. There's always that time at a wedding reception, right? There's always that time where after the food is served, after you're done eating and the bride and the groom have danced and the bride and her father have danced, maybe the cake has been cut. There's always that moment. There's always that moment where you look out on the dance floor and it's empty. And the DJ is putting on that song. He's ready to crank up that song, just get a couple people out on the dance floor to bust a move, put out their best moves, just get a little momentum going. And I'm always at the table, you know, it's that moment of, well, I could clink my glass a little bit. I could maybe go get another hors d'oeuvre. Maybe the bathroom's open. But will I get out onto the dance floor and dance? Will I, Joel, go out and bust a move out on the dance floor, even when it's an outdated move, which it often is for me, it's just outdated. But what about you? What do you do in that moment? Are you at the table? Are you clinking your glass? Show of hands here. How many of you get out on the dance floor and you bust a move? Good. I see your hands there. What do you do? Do you get out on the dance floor and dance? This is what I think Christ is doing here in Matthew's life. He's inviting Matthew out. He's saying, Matthew, come and follow me. Matthew, get out onto the dance floor. Come and join me. Join me in the work that I'm doing. Let's look now at Matthew 2, verses 13 through 17. Let's hear God's word together. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So here is Matthew, and you know, just a little bit about being a tax collector at that time. It's funny because tax collectors have their own sort of category here. It's not just sinners. It's not just those reprobate, evil, bad people, sinners, but it's tax collectors and sinners. When you were a tax collector, you had your own category of badness. You had your own label. It was almost like being the parking meter person, right? The person everyone despises. It's that own special category of badness. And so as a tax collector, Matthew, he's working for this middleman, most likely. He's working for Herod Antipas, whose father was Herod the Great. And when Herod the Great died, he divided his kingdom into three areas. And so Archelaus got Judah in the south, Antipas got Galilee in the north, and Philip got the Golan Heights up to Syria. So it was all broken up that way. But as you traveled around the region, you would have to pay a toll going through different areas, much like we would have to pay a toll going to a different state or going to maybe Orange County or something like that. But you would pay a toll to pass and go through. And so Matthew is this person collecting tolls on his own people. So working for the Roman province, but working as a Jewish tax collector really earned him the hatred of his own people. No one liked Matthew for what he was doing. So you have the Romans. They're kind of like, you know, let's let the locals live their life, but let's take a little bit from them. And so Matthew, the way he earned money was taking his own people's money and pocketing a little bit in his own. He took a little extortion there and then gave the rest to the Romans. No one liked a tax collector in their day. They were thieves. They were enforcers. Again, they had their own special category. They were like the mafia. If you were going to leave tax collecting, it was like you were going to leave the mafia. Once you leave, you're not going back. You're gone for good. So walking away is a really big deal. And I started to think about Matthew because I wonder, was this the first time that Jesus was approaching Matthew? It could have been. It could have been that Jesus, this was the very first interaction he had with Matthew. And so he just calls Matthew right out, calls him out from the tax booth. It also could have been very likely that Matthew was sitting at the table. He was kind of in the audience, looking at Jesus, observing what Jesus was doing from a distance. Jesus had been around the region. Jesus had been healing a paralytic man. Jesus had been healing Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus had been around teaching and preaching. So it's likely that Matthew maybe was in the audience at this point and maybe seeing Jesus out there in the field. And now Jesus is going to come to Matthew and say, Matthew, I know you've been in the audience. I know you've been sitting at the table, but it's time to come out with me. It's time to come out and move with me, Matthew. It's time to come out and join me in ministry. I love this Caravaggio painting that is on your screen. It's in our bulletin, but it's this amazing moment of capture of Matthew being called out at his workplace, there with all his friends, and he's pointing to himself like, Jesus, are you sure you've got the right person? Me? Are you sure? And Jesus is saying, yes, Matthew. Matthew, it's you. Matthew, follow me. And I want to ask you, can you hear your own name today? Jesus is calling your name and saying, your name, come. Come follow me. Come join me in the purpose that I have for your life and the purpose that I have for this world. Can you hear your name in this story when Jesus is speaking? I heard my name in this story this week. I was thinking back on how Jesus has approached me and has been inviting me into this dance with him. You know, it was around the time I was maybe 6 or 7, and my dad was reading Bible stories to me, and we were on my bedroom floor, and you know, he said, Joel, do you want to ask Christ into your heart tonight? And I did. And so my mom joined us and we prayed, and it was just this moment of response, this moment early in my life of joining Jesus. And then you fast forward to maybe the time I was a college freshman, and my pastor came to me at that time and he said, Joel, I've got these junior high and high school students that I want you to teach. They don't have a teacher. Would you be willing to teach them on Sunday mornings? And I remember this was probably the first time that I really fasted. I took a whole day and I prayed, and I remember being in my room and really, really feeling that there was a passion that God was putting in my heart for the church, to serve the church. And then you fast forward maybe 8 or 9 years after that, as I've been investing in youth ministry, investing in students and parents and volunteers, and I'm sitting at my desk in Northwest Ohio, I'm sitting in that office place like Matthew, and I thought, you know, God, I think I want to be in ministry and following you for the long haul. I want to be 75, 80 years old and pastoring and following you, Jesus. And I knew I needed theological education. I had lots of experience, and that led me out to Fuller Seminary. And then you fast forward a few years after Fuller, and this church was looking for a part-time college young adult director. And I came into worship one day, and met a few of you who are still here today. And I took in the environment, I listened to the prayers, and I knew there was something God was stirring in me to serve this church, to join with Jesus in what he was doing here. And that's been this progressive invitation from Joel. I want you out of the audience. I want you away from that table. And I want you out onto the floor to move with me, move in what I'm doing. And I wonder what that's like for you, because you know, ministry with Jesus, joining Jesus in what he's doing is not just for pastors. It's not just for those who get paid to do that. Jesus has a ministry and a call for you. He has a ministry for you. And let me tell you, if I, as a pastor, if I'm doing my job, but I'm the only one out on the dance floor, I'm the only one out there busting a move, then I'm not doing my job. Because my job as a pastor is to build up and equip the rest of the body for the work of ministry that God has for each of you. And each of you has a ministry in the city and in this church. This is what we call the priesthood of all believers. This is what we celebrate in the Reformation, but it's what we hear in 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I will tell you that there is nothing more exciting to me in serving in this church as seeing each of you step up and step out onto that floor and serve Jesus and join with him. There's nothing more that gets me excited than that. And so I want you to reflect on that. What has Jesus been tapping your shoulder? What has he been placing on your heart right now? What has he been placing on your heart for ministry in this church, ministry in your neighborhood, ministry at your workplace? You are called to join Jesus. And I think of going back to Matthew here. Matthew could have never known all that God was about to do with his life, all that God was about to do with Matthew and the purpose that he had. Matthew, you know, Jesus could have come up to Matthew and said, Matthew, you're not going to believe me, but you're going to follow me and you're going to end up writing a significant portion of the New Testament. It's going to become the Gospel of Matthew. And in fact, Dale Bruner is going to write a commentary on your book. In fact, he's going to write two volumes of commentary on your book, Matthew. That's how, what a purpose you have. Jesus just said, follow me. Step out, Matthew. Step out. Step out. Matthew had no idea that he would carry the gospel into Ethiopia. He had no idea that he would be a missionary to Ethiopia. Matthew had no idea that his love and his devotion for Christ would grow so much that Matthew would end up giving his life. He would end up sacrificing his life for Christ, becoming a martyr. You see, this rich, rich purpose that Christ has for our lives, we can't even imagine it, friends. We can't even imagine it. But it starts with just stepping out. Stepping out when Christ says, follow me, come, join me. Join me in what I'm doing here. Join me. And we see that's what Matthew does. Matthew steps out. He follows Jesus, and immediately Matthew is kind of, I don't know if he knows that he's doing it, but he's involved in the ministry. He's inviting his friends. He's inviting his neighbors, those he works with. He's having dinner. He's having this party with Jesus. He's getting his friends around Jesus. And I, you know, this probably wasn't one of your Bible study parties where you have Scrabble and you have bingo. I mean, this was tax collectors and sinners, okay? I don't know. I mean, the smoke was probably filling the room. The hookah was out. There was probably some drinks being served. I mean, this was one of those parties that doesn't happen in your Bible study environment. Jesus is right there. He's comfortable in that spot. He's comfortable to love people like that. And Matthew's there in the middle of all this. And Jesus is saying, Matthew, this is where I am. This is where I want you. I want you involved in this kind of mission, this kind of sharing of life with these friends of yours. This is where I am. This is where I'm calling you. And as I reflected on this sermon, you know, I was thinking about my own neighborhood too, because there's a ministry within this church, but our ministry as a church also goes beyond this church. Our ministry goes into our neighborhoods. It goes into the places we live, the places we work. That we are truly a community of missionaries in this place. And so I was thinking about my neighborhood during COVID. You know, during COVID, I've had more time to spend at home and take notice of everything that is around me, my physical surroundings. And I live in a fourplex, and then across the way, we have this 8-unit apartment. And then we have this kind of this central lawn. And if it is, in a sense, it's this dance floor, it's this communal gathering place. And, you know, during COVID, you're mindful of how much to enter that, how much to be around folks. But it's been interesting because I've had an opportunity to really take notice and really see what Christ is doing, even in my own neighborhood. And, you know, there's the couple that is living together in the front unit, and the back of their car is just plastered with what I would consider the most, you know, far left liberal bumper stickers you can imagine. But Christ calls me to be in fellowship and conversation with them as we walk our dogs and see each other outside. And then there's the two people living together at the far end of the other set of apartments. And then there's the Hispanic family across the way that comes out, and then they bring my son a birthday gift. And so these are the kind of people that Christ puts us in contact with. That Christ says, this is where I am. I'm out here. I'm doing things. I'm working in people's hearts. I'm working in people's lives. Would you join me, Joel? Would you join me in this ministry that I have for you right here, right where you are? And so I want to ask you, as you think about this passage, as you reflect, as you pray on this, what is God calling you to? Maybe even right now. What is God tapping your shoulder and saying, I put something in you. I put something on your heart. I'm doing something in your apartment building. I'm doing something where you work. Can you see me? Can you see me working? I'm doing something in this church. Will you join me? Will you step out onto the dance floor? Will you dance? I've been really inspired by this story that I've been reading, coming from Le Chambon. It's this village in France, and this tiny village of about 5,000 people during World War II. Many of you know the Nazi regime, and then they were collaborating with the French Vichy regime and rounding Jews up and sending them to death camps. And there was this tiny village, Le Chambon, about 5,000 people tucked away in this mountainside of France. And they started sheltering children and sheltering men and women and couples and elderly and merchants and doctors and homemakers. And really it was these two pastors. It was André Trocmé and Edward Thaïs. And they began to preach in the village. They began to cast this vision for what being the church looked like right where they were. And so they preached pacifism, and they preached civil disobedience to not join what was happening in the larger state, in the Nazi state. They preached what following Christ and serving Christ looked like practically. that it was feeding the hungry, that it was sheltering those who didn't have a place to live. And so they were preaching this. But you know what? It was actually the people of the village. It was the people of the village who were the real heroes. It was these people like Henry and Emma Hertier. And they were a couple. They had the small farmhouse. And this family, this Jewish family, came to them and they received them. And at the time, the mother was carrying a baby boy. And this baby boy, March 25th, 1944, was born. His name was Pierre Sauvage. And Pierre Sauvage actually went back to this village to meet this couple. And he did a film called Weapons of the Spirit, which you can find online. I recommend it to you. It captures this. But he went back to meet this couple, Henry and Emma, and he asked them, you know, you were taking risks. Why'd you do this? And they said, well, we were used to it. But really it was their deep engagement with the Christian faith. And this is what Pierre wrote. He said this in the film. He said, 1944, a Jewish baby had the good fortune to see the light of day in a place on earth uniquely committed to his survival. So Pierre Sauvage was born in this tiny village, but because these people of the village had heard the call of Christ saying, follow me, join me in what I'm doing. And it wasn't the pastors who were the heroes. It was the people of that town, Les Chambons, who were the heroes of that day, because they were the ones who joined Christ in his ministry. And stories like that inspire me, because, you know, we're in a moment right now. We're in a moment in a pandemic. We're in a moment in church transition where we could easily say, you know, we just kind of wait it out. Just kind of sit back, sit at the table, clink our glass, eat another hors d'oeuvre. But really there's this opportunity and there's this invitation that Christ is calling each one of you to join in the work of ministry here in this church and join in the work of ministry in the city of Hollywood where Christ is moving and working. And so today, you know, one way that we are responding to this call is by giving we're focusing on this area of stewardship and saying, okay, we're going to respond and we're going to give of our resources. We're going to say, Jesus, okay, this is a sacrifice, but I'm joining you in what you're doing. I'm joyful about it. I'm cheerful about it because I know that you're in the midst here. And so that's one way maybe that Christ is just calling each of us to step out, step up, and think about that this season of stewardship. But stewardship is even much more than that. It's above and beyond our giving. It is our giving, but it's about what Christ has put in you. It's about the heart and the gifts that Christ has put in you. It's about the time you have. It's about the giftings you have to serve Christ. And so I want you to be thinking about that also during this stewardship season. I want you to thinking about bringing your whole heart right now in this season, bringing your whole self in service to God. Because God is calling each of us. Christ is calling each of us. He's saying your name and he's saying my name. Come, follow me. Will you get up from the table and will you get out on the dance floor and move with Christ Jesus? May it be so this day. Amen.